So we got a new year, 2023. That's exciting to me, and I think that it's like a turning of a page. Typically, you know, when I think about transitions, you know, from one year to another, it's usually a time where that I use to take and review some of the things maybe that I was working toward the previous year and say, hey, where are we at on these? How have I done? Set goals. A lot of people will set goals in a new year. Some people call them New Year's resolutions. I don't think that we need to wait to the new year to set goals for ourselves. And I think that we should always have goals. We should have goals, you know, professionally, just in all areas of our life. And I'm going to touch on that some this morning. I want to talk about habits. You know, with it being the new year, you know, this is something that a lot of people are passionate about, and you'll probably hear a lot about. You'll probably hear, you know, in the next couple of weeks or stuff, you'll see people talking about New Year's resolutions and stuff. And I want to encourage all of you, as cliche as it may be, and I know some people are like, oh, New Year's resolutions, set goals for yourself. And we'll talk more about it as we go through this morning. One thing that I want to point out, and I heard a guy say, and I think that there's some truth to it, and he said that successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. And this goes for all areas of our lives, whether it's spiritually, whether it's financially in our finances, or relationally, and how we relate to other people. People that are successful, they do consistently what other people only do occasionally. I think I have some good examples of this in the Bible. When we think about prayer time and talk about prayer time, you know, I remember watching the movie War Room, and it's like, you know, this lady, that was a powerful movie, by the way. If you haven't seen it, check it out. I think most of you probably have. But, you know, that lady dedicated time out of her life and set up a place to go and pray. I know a lot of people who are have young kids or busy with work and all these other things that life tends to crowd in. Say, who's got time for that? Let's look at some of the examples that we have in the Bible. What about Jesus? You think he's a pretty busy guy once he started his ministry? Consistently made time to get away and pray. He regularly got away from the crowds and went and prayed. Have that solitude time with the Father. I think about Paul, who once he was had his conversion and got into the ministry and traveling between cities and all that stuff, he still made a habit out of going to the temple and sharing with people, and then also going out and sharing with the unbelievers too. So I don't know if you guys probably have heard of Sean Covey. I'm sure most of you have. He wrote the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. This is a book that's on my reading list. I've bought it. It's sitting on the shelf. I haven't dug into it. And I know that a lot of people see this kind of stuff and think, self-help. There's some value to it, to that type of stuff. But I want to share with you this morning that this is not about self-help. What I'm going to speak with you guys about this morning. It's not a self-help message. This is a God can and he will help you message. But there's stuff that we have to do in that ourselves. So Stephen Covey, he said that our habits will make us or break us. We become what we repeatedly do. So I think the timing of this message, you know, with it being the new year, it's probably some of you are making New Year's resolutions or goals of things that you want to do. I want to work out. I want to eat better, which, by the way, is one of mine. I want to start eating more healthy. I do bad at that, you know. I mean, I feel like I get a fair amount of exercise, but I don't eat very well. And that's one of my goals this year. But in looking at some of the statistics behind this, 92% of the New Year's resolutions that people make, they don't last. And, you know, there's some scripture in here in Romans chapter 7 that I'd like to read to you guys. This was Paul writing to the Romans. He said, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer. I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I stumbled through that tongue tire there. Basically, Paul's saying, hey, I want to do these things, but there is something inside of me that is pulling me in the opposite direction, and it's this constant battle. I think that is true for all of us. There's part of us that knows what's right and wants to do it, and then there's these other influences, typically from the world. It's sin, it's evil that exists in the world that pulls us in that opposite direction. When we talk about being successful, that is what I think of as being successful in that spiritual battle. In what we're talking about this morning, that spiritual battle, success in that is the goal for us. So let's look at some reasons why people don't succeed in that. And one of them is that we focus on what we want the end goal to be, but we don't understand how to get there, or we lack the discipline to execute. So maybe we know what we want to do, we don't understand how to get there, or even a lot of times we understand how to get there or what we need to do to reach that goal, but we don't have the discipline to do it. I know that in order to eat healthy, I need to stopping at Whataburger on the way home at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night when I'm leaving the gym. I know I need to skip the fries. I need to eat the salad, instead of, gorging on some of the sweets and stuff. But it's that lack of discipline in the execution that's a struggle. It's convenient to do that. It's not convenient to come home at 9 o'clock and dig some stuff out the freezer and thaw it out and cook it. And you know, that's part of the issue though. And I think that a lot of us have similar goals, but we end up with different results, vastly different results. And the difference is the people who are successful in this, they do things consistently. I think about our health. You know, similar goals. All of us, we want to be healthy, right? I don't know anybody that says, I don't really want to be healthy. I hope to die young with a horrible disease. Nobody says that. But in reality, you know, the health is a big issue for us. And the American diet and the way our society is leaning with activity levels and these sort of things, it's that creates that tension. When I think about financial goals, and I think that most people generally have pretty similar financial goals. We all want to be secure in our finances so that we can, you know, as Christians, we can go about doing God's work without having that added stress of saying, well, I can't really afford to give to this cause because, you know, X, Y, or Z, whatever excuse we make. I think that we all want to enjoy life in general. That's a pretty common goal that we have. As Christians in a church body here, you know, I know that we all want to serve God. I know that we all want to make a positive difference in the relationships that we have. So whether or not people are successful in this, whether we're winners or losers in this, or we're successful or unsuccessful, in general, a lot of people, we all have the same goals. So I think about this, you know, what makes the difference? It's not the setting of those goals that makes the difference. Although, you know, if we're not deliberate in what goals we set and break it down into steps how to get there, we never will. But it's not necessarily the goals that we set that determine the success. It's the things that come behind that. It's understanding how to get there. It's having the discipline to stick to the plan. It's having the integrity to do the right thing when it's difficult. It's about having perseverance. These are the things that determine success in our goals. There's a quote that I don't even know who to attribute it to, but I hear it a lot and I've seen it a lot. And most of you know, like, I practice martial arts and self-defense is a big thing with me. And you know, there's a saying that you don't rise to the level of challenge when it presents itself to you. In the heat of the moment, your instincts kick in and you fall to the level of your training. And I think about the point, the purpose of this repetition and setting like systems in place so that we repetitively do things consistently and that slowly works us towards our goals. I was brought to a story in the Old Testament in Daniel. It's chapter 6. I'll start reading in verse 4. I don't know that I put this scripture in there, but I'm going to read it for y'all. It points out the faith of Daniel and his consistency. actually, the scripture's not even in here. But his faith stood out, you know, when Daniel, he ended up in the lion's den. But before this, if you read some in chapter 6, you'll know that he was faithful. And he lived a disciplined life. He prayed 3 times a day. He lived with integrity. He was consistent in that. And when the king made a law that went against what he knew to be right, he did what he knew to be right. He lived with integrity. Now, in this situation with Daniel, he may have had to spend the night in the lion's den. And I know there probably is times in a lot of you guys' life when you've done the right thing because you knew that's what was right, but you ended up having to spend the night in the lion's den anyways. That's okay, because in the end, when we do that, and it's in God's will, we persevere. You look at the story of Daniel, you know, he spent the night in the lion's den, but the next morning, guess what? He persevered. A lot of times I think when we look at goals and New Year's resolutions and this type of stuff, we think that that we need to change the results, or we want to change the results. You know, maybe we want to lose 20 more pounds. Maybe we want to have our lives more organized. Maybe we want our shed more organized. Maybe we want to pay off our credit card debt and that sort of thing. What we really need to change is not necessarily just the results. We need to change the systems or the habits that have caused us to end up with those results or those situations. If we fix what we do, then the outcome will fix itself. Another thing that trips us up a lot of times is that we don't see progress fast enough. So we set goals and we start working towards it. We lose that momentum and the discipline and the to follow through on it. You know, we just lack the long-term follow through. So maybe we set goals for ourselves to exercise. I'm gonna go three times a week on the treadmill to try and get healthy and get in shape and lose some weight. So we go on the treadmill for the 3 times that week, and then at the end of the week you weigh yourself again, and guess what? You gain 2 pounds. It can be discouraging, or maybe you say, I'm gonna read the Bible all week and try and get more in God's word, and then on Friday on the way to school you find yourself yelling at your kids and stuff because they were late getting out the door, or maybe your goal's to you know, whatever the goal may be. I think that at times that we wrongly conclude that the small decisions that we make, the small good decisions that inch us in the right direction, that they don't really matter that much. And then if we look at the flip side of that, you know, I think that we feel like at times our small bad decisions don't matter that much either. Maybe if I just go home this afternoon and play video games for 3 hours, you know, I don't think Amber's going to leave me because of that. But if I do that consistently, that's going to create trouble in our relationships. If we do that consistently, then we're not taking care of some of the other responsibilities that we have. Or maybe if we think that the small decision of skipping church one weekend, man, it's New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, it's not going to hurt to skip today. What does that matter? It doesn't seem to matter, but these small incremental bad decisions that we make inch us in the wrong direction too, and I think that we wrongly conclude that small bad decisions don't matter that much too. What about the box of chocolates? I got a whole bag of Twixes, or not Twixes, Kit Kats at the house that kids give me for Christmas. If I eat half that bag, what does that really matter? It don't mean that much. Nobody's going to notice. The small bad decisions, they do matter. It takes us incrementally away from the direction that we want to see our lives go and that God wants to see our lives go. It's our life, it's just, it's basically all these small decisions that we make and actions that we take added up. And I'll say, for the small bad decisions, the eating the bag of Kit Kats or the skipping the church just one weekend, these small bad decisions are rarely the things that wreck our lives or that wreck somebody's life. That one decision isn't what causes things to fall apart. But it's over time, these things adding up, and a person slowly and slowly is more incrementally getting away from where they should be, from the will of God in their life, and it's these cumulative things that we need to be mindful of. So remember that when things get tough, when you've been on the treadmill 3 times this week and you still gain 2 pounds, remember that this work, this effort that you're putting in, the discipline that you're having, the sacrifices that you're making, and the faithfulness that you have in pursuing the goals that you've set for yourself and that God has for your life, these things are being stored up. You might not see results right now from it, but over time, you are moving yourself in the direction that you need to be. So also, when people look at other folks that they consider to be successful, most of the time, you're only seeing the results of the habits that they've put in place and developed in their life. We only see the shiny things, you know. When you see the person that you feel like has been successful in life financially and they've got, you know, whatever it is that you consider, you know, to be success, they're living it. You only see that shiny stuff. What we don't see a lot of times is the fact that, man, had to overcome self-doubt and feeling of unworthiness. They don't see you failing over and over and over and over again and getting up and starting over again. You don't see that. They don't see the teary prayers in the bed with the wife saying, hey, we got to do better. They don't see the sacrifices that people make. They don't see the times that you endure criticism from other people about stuff. Don't see the 4 a.m. mornings or the 12:30 p.m. nights and then getting back up at 4:30 in the morning. Don't see that grind. People don't see the private price that we pay. And people don't see these small, consistent disciplines. And I'll tell you, it's these things that nobody sees or nobody wants to do that bring the results that everybody wants. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. We got to have a purpose in our life, and we got to understand who we are. And this is the third thing I see that trips people up pretty frequently, and it's that they don't truly understand who we are in Christ or who they are in Christ. They don't truly understand their identity. So the enemy is pretty persistent about telling you what you're not. I know that to be true. Good at connecting our failures to who we are. The enemy wants us to think that we didn't do it right, that we're not good at it, that we're just a miserable negative person. Let's think about some of the people that God used in a big way in the Bible. Moses probably wasn't initially the best of the speakers, had a stutter. You know, think about Gideon being weak, or Paul was an oppressor and felt like he was the least and unworthy too. God can use these types of people, and he does. I'm a living example. I think that God has used me in ways that had I not went through some of the struggles that I have, I may not have been able to be useful in that situation. But I want to tell you today that just because you feel a certain way about something doesn't mean that God can't use you. Some people may have an addictive personality. Well, I have an addictive personality, so I'm just going to resign to the fact that I'm going to be a drunk. My mom was one. My grandpa was one. On down the line, maybe I'm poor at handling money, so I'm just always going to be broke. So I'm going to go shopping anyways. Maybe it's that I'm not organized. Maybe it's that you're not a disciplined person. Maybe it's that you're not good with people. If you think that it's just who you are and you resign to that fact, it'll never change. But if you realize that through God, all things are possible, you can overcome. But we have to know who we are in Christ. And we have to know that an unhealthy identity, it creates unwise habits. If we don't realize who we are, that we're an overcomer, and that Christ can take these things from our life, you know, you resign to those things. And if you're consistent with unwise habits, that helps to reinforce your unhealthy identity. So I want to encourage you all this morning to take a different approach to your goals this year. Most people create do goals. These are things that a person wants to do. I want to make sure and start working out. I want to eat more healthy. Guilty. Do goal. I want to do these things. I want to read more. I want to get more sleep. And these are not bad things. But I want to encourage you all this morning to start with some who goals about who you want to be this coming year. Where you're at, and who you want to be. What do you want to become? Do you want to be a true man of God? Do you want to be a godly wife or mom? Do you want to be a bold witness for Christ at your school? Do you want to be sober and clean? Do you want to be financially free? Do you want to work on becoming a more healthy person? Start with goals that relate to who you want to be. Because our identity, it helps to shape our actions. When we know who we are, we know a little bit better what we need to do. you know, a trap that a lot of people fall in is this, they think that it's just who I am, you know, and they resign to it. Or I hear it a lot, and I've used it myself too. It is what it is. But if it aligns with God and His direction for your life, and you have the determination to do your part, it doesn't have to be it is what it is. It is what it ain't. God can fix that. We're not trapped. We're not sinners who can't change. If we look in Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. I'll skip down to verse 18. He wrote here that we know our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you've become slaves to righteous living. Man, I read that, and I personally feel empowered by it. It reminds me of the song, the Zach Williams song, No Longer a Slave to Sin. It just highlights that we got to know who we are in Christ. We got to know that we're forgiven. We got to know that we're redeemed. We got to know that we're empowered to overcome. We got to know that, you know, we're called by God to serve. And once we realize these things, what we need to do becomes a little bit more clear. 2 Corinthians verse 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Once we have a real encounter with Christ in our life, things will start to change for you. And over time, we have these cycles where we have a mountaintop experience with God and we feel His presence and feel Him moving in our lives. And then for me, I can't speak for everybody, but there are times when I feel like maybe that relationship gets stale and I feel that less. And in those moments, you know, I know that it's not God that's moved. It's not God that's not moving in my life. It's me who has moved and become less sensitive to the things that He's working in my life. And that goes back to you know, just staying in tune with Him. So our identity, it shapes our actions. When we know who we are in Christ and have Him at the center of our life, that identity will help shape the things that we do, the actions that we take. When we have a healthy identity, it creates positive habits. And when we have positive habits, it helps to reinforce a healthy identity and knowing who we are in God. When we know who we are in Christ, it creates positive habits. Examples. We get up first thing in the morning and we start getting into scripture and reading God's word. I had a text exchange with a coworker this morning that made me smile. 7 a.m., 6:30 a.m., he texts me Bible verses. You know, I couldn't help but smile, and I texted him back, and I said, thank you, David. You know, I sit here the first of the year, and I'm thinking about priorities, and I'm thankful to be surrounded by people in my life that have their priorities straight, you know. And I pointed out that prime example is the man who's got his priorities straight. The first hour of the first day of the new year, what's he do? He's in God's word and he's sharing it with other people. And I'm so blessed to have those kind of people in my life. But it's those habits, those positive habits, help to create and strengthen the identity that we have in Christ. They feed on each other. And when you put Christ in the center and you have a healthy support group around a person in the form of a church family or just brothers and sisters in Christ, watch what God can do through this person. But we have to ask ourselves, who do you want to become? I speak for myself some. You know, I want to be a guy who loves Jesus and is known for that. I want to be a guy who is known to be obsessed with his wife. I want to be a great dad to my kids. I want to be devoted to this church. I want to be a leader who believes in people and helps them to make a difference in the world around them. I want to be a good steward, a guy who takes care of the things that are trusted to me and is wise with the way I handle things, the blessings that God gives me. And that's time, that's the financial blessings that God gives me, that's the influence that God blesses me with, and I want to use it to glorify God. I also want to be somebody who's known for enjoying life. I think that there's something to be said for that. There is a warmth about a person who is just loving life that can be magnetic. And when that's the case and a person says, what is it that makes this person that way? And that person says, it's God. I think that's a goal for me. I want to be rich in friendships and experiences. I want to be generous. And I want to leave something behind. But we got to know who we are. And when we know who we are, we know what to do. When you know who you are, you know what to do. You got to think to yourself, what would the person I want to be do? When you're faced with situations, and I think about the Robert Frost poem, two roads diverged in a wood, so you see a split in the path, and you're wondering, you know, what should I do here? Think about the person who you want to be, who God's calling you to be, and say, what would that person do? This old saying, what would Jesus do? That's a good litmus test for making decisions in your life, you know? What would a godly man do? When making our dinner decisions, what would a healthy person choose off of there, you know? When making financial decisions, well, what would a financially sound, wise person do in this situation? When we can start running things through those filters, we can make better decisions. And it's all these small decisions add up. It's not single actions that change our identity and who we are, aside from accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. That single action can change who you are. But in that, there are these small actions and decisions that we make over time that we have to make. We have to change how we see ourselves once we become believers. And when we change how we see ourselves, eventually, it'll change our identity. We'll change how we see ourselves. Christ changes who we are in this process. So I'll say again, successful people do consistently, but others do occasionally. We got to be more like Christ, and to do this, we got to know who we are in Christ, and that'll help us to know what to do. The good news is, in all this, that we don't have to be perfect. Perfection is a goal for some, but we don't have to be perfect. You know, it's not the end of the world if you skip a day at the gym, or you eat a little bit too much, or lose your cool, or have an impulse purchase, but we can't do that consistently. We have to consistently do the other. Just as a recap, we got to focus on what and understand the how. We have to operate with discipline, integrity, and perseverance. And when we feel like we're not seeing progress fast enough, we got to remember that it's the long term that we're shooting for. We need to be storing up our treasures in heaven, and we got to follow through. So that's what I have to share with you guys this morning. And I know that, you know, the New Year's goals is cliche, and some people are like, yeah, that's silly, but I think that as individuals, we need to have some goals for ourselves for the coming year. We need to have some goals spiritually. You know, what are you going to do this year to impact your spiritual growth? What are you going to do this year to impact the spiritual growth of those around you? What are you going to do to impact your physical well-being? Because I personally like to have goals around my spiritual goals, around my mental capacities, and around my physical well-being. And I encourage everybody to do the same. What are your spiritual goals this year? What are you doing to help grow spiritually and help those around you grow spiritually? What are you doing to grow mentally and help educate yourself so that you can help make the lives of other people around you better? And then what are you doing to, you know, help yourself physically so that you can make sure and you know, be around longer to help the grandkids or kids or whatever it might be? In doing all this and setting goals, think about who do you want to become? Think about who does Christ want you to become? And ask yourself, do these two things align? Is who Christ is calling me to become, is that who I want to become? And if not, we need to fix that first. Once we get that fixed and who we want to become aligns with who Christ wants you to become, then you got to answer the question of what are you doing about it. Pastor Tommy talked last week, he closed out his message about being doers of the word. Put it into practice. You know, it's good to talk about the things we want to do, but then we got to take some action. Christ offers us salvation and freedom from sin and freedom from the things that burden us, whether it's our lack of confidence or self-esteem or all these things. Man, Christ offers us freedom from those. But there's a part that we got to do in that too. And so I just encourage you all, as Pastor Tommy did last week, to be doers this year. That's all I got. Thank you all for your time this morning.